Hello and welcome to the Modern Maker Podcast. Today is Thursday, February 28th, otherwise known as, I'm going to give you your choice. Could either be Public Sleeping Day or Tooth Fairy Day.
Public Sleeping Day is much needed after a really awesome workbench con.
That's true. I actually slept, I think, like for 10 straight hours when I got home, and I'm not usually a long-term, I'm not a Rip Van Winkler.
I did about nine and a half of, it was amazing, but I think we were all pretty beat up afterwards.
For sure.
Especially Mike.
Yeah, he was beat up during.
Oh my gosh, I went through some stuff that day.
But you pulled through it like a champion.
I was about to say, should we just hop into
it?
Let's get right into it. Should I even bring any of this up?
I think the people want to know. Everybody's
right,
friends
so
here.
Long story short, Workbench Con was amazing. I think we can all agree
it was
that,
awesome.
Right?
It was a good time.
We almost tripled attendance from last year. And I'm not, and I say we as in everyone. It wasn't just a collective effort of it wasn't a collective effort of only the three of us.
No.
But it was an incredible event. Thank you to everybody that came out and made it such a great weekend. We had the privilege of giving the opening speech. The headline, the headlining speech, if you will.
The opening ceremonies.
There we go. I'm glad we can all really rally behind a single term to use. Whatever we're going to call it, I woke up the morning of our opening speech sicker than a dog. And everyone says, Mike, you were just hungover. I counted. I had six drinks, I'm pretty sure. It might have been five. I'm being generous saying six drinks.
But you also rolled that into like 3 a.m. and we were up at like 7 a.m.
Okay, but all I'm saying,
so I think you may have still been drunk.
Maybe. Regardless, I woke up and I'm pretty convinced that I had a real stomach bug, because I heard from a few other people later on in the weekend that apparently I passed it on to them because they were experiencing the same things I had.
Drinking.
Well, I was gonna, I know. I was going to say, you stole my water during both of our presentations, and I drank from it. And
yeah,
so far I'm doing good.
And when you weren't feeling well, you kind of like spit on me a little bit.
Mike was really spreading it around.
Yeah, let's back up just a little bit.
Let me tell what I experienced.
Well, really quickly before you get there, I just need to round out this morning that I had. So I wake up in the fetal position and sweating. I'm talking. I thought I wet the bed, but turns out it was just my sweat. No, I'm kidding. I didn't
sweat
think that
the bed
at all. But I wake up and, for lack of better terms, I got sick, and that happened. And it happened again and again until I finally got to the event center and met with Ben. And I gave him this look that said, I think I'm dying.
And all right, so let me give it a little bit of context. So Workbench Con is amazing, and there's this thing, now that there's been 2 years, you know, two whole years, to set the tradition where everybody gets in like a day early. So Thursday night is the cocktail party, and it starts around, like, goes from like 5 to like 6:30.
And then it's normally casual.
Right. And then after that, everybody goes to the lobby of the hotel where we're staying at for drinks, and just, that's really when it starts. But we, the three of us, had to go on stage to give our presentation in front of the whole audience of all the attendees at 8:45 a.m. Friday morning. So, you know, as a veteran of both drinking and conferences, you know, sort of pacing myself, mixing in a sparkling water in between the whiskeys. Mike, on the other hand, was just holding court. And what's great about Workbench Con is that everyone's just excited to talk to everyone. So Mike's sitting up at the bar. He's got a bunch of other makers around him talking. And I see he's like, you know, he's having a great time. He's drinking old fashions. Not the best drink in terms of, you know, things to do sequentially before you have to give a big presentation. Lots of sugar, kind of heavy. And I'm pretty sure Mike had more about like 7 or 8 drinks. And when I talked to some of the people that were buying him drinks, they all seemed to remember buying him multiple drinks. Now,
and also we should add in, Mike, what did you eat that day?
No, I ate a little bit. I ate some. Oh, I had a breakfast sandwich that morning. But
and that was it?
I was just really busy. I didn't think about it.
Regardless.
Yeah,
regardless.
Exactly.
He's like very animated, having fun. It's around like 10, 10:30 or maybe a little bit earlier, but I'm starting to, you know, make my moves to go crash for the night as a responsible adult. Then our good friend Johnny Brooks from Crafted Workshop has this great
fourth
idea
member
to recapture the magic that we had at the last Workbench Con, where we went to a karaoke bar, but it was like a really cool one with like the rooms. And when we were there as part of the, you know, there's the famous scene where we made Brad from Fix This, Build That along with his partner in crime, John Malecki, do Whitney Houston's I Will Always Love You. Not an easy song to sing. Brad somehow pulled it off. Anyways.
He's got pipes.
So Johnny wanted to recreate that and rented out the whole karaoke bar. And it's like, let's go do it. And Mike's like, yes, this is awesome. Let's go. And I'm like, no. And I was like, Mike, we gotta give a talk real early. So, you know, just like switch up to water. He's like, I'm fine.
That didn't happen. Come on.
Yes, it did.
I was there.
I swear it happened.
That's how it went.
I'm like, all right. So I'm already sort of thinking ahead. And, you know, I get back into the room and I send a text to Mike and Jesse. And I'm like, you know, Mike's just to sort of also let Jesse know that she may need to intervene and help me save a mic. So I'm just like, Mike's out doing karaoke and no answer, right? And I'm like, and he has to get up early and give a presentation. And, you know, we still wanted, our plan was to sort of get up around 6, maybe do a dry run through the presentation one more time. We didn't need to, but we thought, you know, hey, right, might as well.
Yeah.
And so around like 1:30 or 2:00, I get a text from Mike, and it's just like a bunch of emoji faces, but they're not like in a row. They're each on like a separate line. So he like either typed one in, sent it, then typed another one. But like, let me go through.
Oh no.
Let's pull up the scroll.
Let me go through these.
This might have been a bad idea. I shouldn't have brought this up.
Okay. It starts with like a big grinny smiley face emoji. Then he goes with the blowing a kiss emoji. Then he goes with the worried face where the upper half is blue. Then he goes with the green face emoji. Then he goes with the pukey face. And then he follows it up with the emoji that has dollar signs for eyes and for a tongue.
Oh, yeah.
Like,
money mouth.
Yeah.
I think I might have been saying, I'm having a great time. I think I might be getting sick, but we're money. Don't worry about it.
that's exactly what I took from it. So I get this chain of emojis. I like go back to bed and, you know, get up at 6. I send a message to the three of us on a text thread. So saying, hey, you guys up?
Get up.
Chris responds and like nothing from Mike. So, you know, I go and take a shower, get ready, get dressed, talk to Chris. Still haven't heard from Mike. So I have to call like the down to the front desk and have them connect me to his hotel room. And because, you know, the phones that there are really loud. So the phone rings and I hear this really feeble, this is Mike. I swear that's exactly what it sounded like. It was like a 100-year-old person, like, I'm not even sure what gender, just a 100-year-old person, really feeble, perhaps broken hip on the other line.
Yeah.
I'm like, dude, you got to come down. Because now it's like getting close to what? It was like 7:30. So we get down to the lobby. It, remind you, we have to be on stage talking at 8:45. So we're down in the lobby probably around like 8:05 and still no mic. Mike shows up. You know, casual jeans and just a white T-shirt. You know,
looking
clean and fresh, but just looking real.
Got the sleeves rolled,
real pale.
And yeah.
Mike
looking as white as his T-shirt.
Mike normally has like a pretty good hair game. Like I think as far as the maker community go, it's not the toughest competition, but Mike's the guy with good hair.
Yeah.
Right. I pride myself on that.
Yeah. He's got his own pomade. He tops it off with a little bit of hairspray just to hold it all together. Very Zach Morris, if you will. Mm. And Mike's hair doesn't look great. And I'm like, ooh, if the hair doesn't look great, Mike's not going to feel great.
Right.
And it's looking pretty pale. So anyways.
That's the barometer for how he's doing.
We start walking over to the conference venue and I'm sort of keeping an eye on him. He looks pale. He's not saying anything, which is abnormal. Normally, he's pretty energetic. And I see as he's walking across this sky bridge, because all of downtown Atlanta is connected with these sky bridges, I see his cheeks sort of like all of a sudden like pufferfish, like as if he either like tried to hold in a burp or like perhaps a small dry heave vomit. And I see him sort of like quicken his step and like look around with his like cheeks kind of bulging. Yeah, by this time we had met up with John Malecki and Brad from Fix This Build That, and they're all sort of razzing him a little bit. Oh yeah, the young guy can't hold his liquor. And he's Mike's like, no, I'm sick. So he kind of runs ahead and disappears into a bathroom. And we're like, well, let's just keep walking over because, you know, we want to still see, you know, make sure at least we're there. So we get over there, you know, we're sort of getting our seats. We're introduced to the MC who's going to sort of introduce us up on the stage. Mike sort of comes lagging in like literally like 5 minutes before we have to go on stage. And all of a sudden, Jesse comes running in and hands him some hairspray. Somehow.
That's the most important
part. While Mike was in the bathroom, like he texted Jesse to go bring him some hairspray.
Priorities, man. Yeah. I'm here.
Like, I think it was like you needed as like a confidence boost.
Yeah, regardless of what's happening, man, I'm going to make sure and pull through. Like, hey,
look good, feel good. So Jesse hands him the hairspray. He goes into the bathroom to sort of, I don't know, were you throwing up or just dry heaving? Or just hairspraying?
I don't want to be graphic, but I was puking, yes.
Yeah. But it probably wasn't very much substantial by that point. Oh, it was? Oh, wow. Mike's nodding.
Well, we tried to feed him a muffin that morning, too.
Oh, yeah. We tried to give him a muffin. The muffin didn't take. So he's like, don't worry. I'll pull it together. So we go up on stage. We're sitting on kind of these like tall director's chairs. Presentation goes well.
That's what I was gonna say. That's the silver lining in all this is
Mike rallied.
It all came together.
And let me tell you, he pulled it together.
My hair looks good too.
Yeah.
Great.
Hair sprayed. And did you kind of vomit in your mouth on stage a little bit, but just kind of swallow it and hide it a little bit?
Okay. So, Chris, you remember when I stole your waters the first time?
And then I drank it after?
Oh, jeez. I didn't think about that, man. I'm sorry.
We're close now, man. We're buddies.
Yeah. Yeah. Once again, I don't want to be graphic, but what you said did happen, Ben. Yes.
Okay. But he pulled up, like, I didn't notice. And no one I talked to sort of, you know, people said, oh, you know, everyone said that you looked a little bit, like, lower energy than usual, but, like, totally fine.
Dude, so, we crushed it. Yeah. Crushed it.
We pulled it off. It all went well. We kicked it off. And Mike was still hurting for the rest of the day. You had to do a quick run out during your presentation later for the YouTube 101.
Yeah.
I held it down, though.
Yeah, but Chris held it down.
I know Mike's stuff back and forth now.
I know. It was hilarious. I exit the bathroom knowing my talk is supposed to start 1 minute ago. And so I'm literally jogging to our meeting room where in the distance I hear Chris talking and saying what's on my slide. And I'm like, no.
And now Mike would say.
And so I just hop in and I just like start taking it away in stride as I'm walking down the aisle getting to the front of the room. But that one went really well too. I had a million people saying, great talk, you know, whether they were there the previous year or not, saying, you know, of all the talks I went to, and I'm not just, you know, patting you on the back or anything, but like I really got a lot out of your talk. So for everyone that did, thanks for coming out. It was awesome. There was probably 100 seats, maybe a little bit more, and there was only standing room. So it was really encouraging to see.
Yeah. It was a really good event. Do you guys have any other sort of highlights you want to recap?
Hit it, Chris.
I thought this year was even an improvement from last year.
Yeah, absolutely.
Just like everything, but I was wondering, so what was your guys' feeling after? Like, it was funny watching, like, you know, going on Instagram and watching everybody's reaction after, and everybody was like, all like, man, super pumped after Workbench Con, so happy to be back in the shop and feeling reinvigorated and all this. And I kind of had like a weird, like, kind of melancholy feeling. Like, I was like coming down. I think it was because I wasn't going into the shop to work either. I just like basically had to come home and hunker down for like 3 days of editing.
Yeah.
And so it was this like weird, like, kind of like, oh man, like it feels like life feels boringer now.
It's so much stimulus, and it's a collection of people that probably understand what you do on a day-to-day basis than just about anyone else, because You know, no one does the exact same thing as each other, but there's similar patterns that involve both making, design, and content production. So I think there's that sort of exhilaration of that from that sense of community, and also just from the amount of information intake. There's so much learning that goes on. I, in particular, I'm going to single out Brad Rodriguez's class on sort of Instagram. Brad is so thorough. He presents things. It's one thing to present what has worked for you, which is what a lot of people do, and that's great, right? It's like, it's anecdotal, it's truthful, but Brad takes it a step farther. And if you've ever listened to his podcast, the Made for Profit podcast, you'll know what I'm talking about. He doesn't just present what's worked for him. He also studies other people and sort of contextualizes that information into sort of concepts and practices that are very actionable. So it was one of the classes where I was writing notes and got like three or four new ideas for how I'm going to use Instagram a little bit differently and a little bit more creatively. Now from an afterwards thing, I was similar, Chris. I felt very grateful and like excited, but then also a little bit exhausted.
Yeah, I think that, exhaustion could be part of it too. I was going to say, so if I had to say my highlights, I'll pick a couple. So Brad was awesome. One of the classes that I got a ton from was Sam, DIY Huntress. Mm.
Yeah.
Shout out to Sam.
What's that?
Shout out to Sam.
Yeah, shout out to Sam. And so her class was really great. And then actually afterwards, talking to her and Alicia from Pneumatic Addict, just about like website and like basically things that I haven't been the best at even implementing at all, and that I really should start implementing. Yeah. So that was a lot of knowledge was dropped from the two of them, and something that I definitely want to tackle this year.
Yeah, it's super cool. The fact that we have such a good cross section of people that are really doing the YouTube thing and really making that their focus. People like Brad that are obviously still doing the YouTube thing, but are also killing it on Instagram, or, you know, Alicia or Sam, like you just mentioned, who have like killer blogs and are able to do that side of the business and have a focus there, where maybe we've let that slip a little bit. So obviously the classes are amazing, but my highlight is always the hotel lobby afterwards, as corny as that sounds, because you get to ask the questions that you are hoping you learn during the classes, but you also get to go that one step further. So if you connect with somebody on what you're talking about, you get to really pick their brain and kind of like try and understand it and how it relates to what you're doing.
Yeah, I would say that. And then actually even during, like, you know, just when you're in the kind of like booth space, I don't know, whatever you would call that space, the common area, there's a lot of those conversations that take place. And I was really happy to see that, like, we weren't clicky at all. Like, people didn't just like hang around with, you know, each other and who we already know as friends. Like, everyone kind of like tried to stay a little bit by themselves so that people could approach us and they didn't feel like they were like intruding in a group. So I had like, it was nonstop talking, just like one-on-one conversations or, you know, little groups of threes and all that kind of stuff. That was, I think that's where like so much gets shared that, yeah, like you were saying, Mike, stuff that doesn't get covered in the class, or that, like, I don't know, for whatever reason, you think it's too specific to ask in a group, so you wait until you're in that smaller little one-on-one conversation.
Yeah, and I also got to meet some people that I've known and watched for a long time. Like, this is the first time I ever met Matt Cremona. And
yeah, me too.
The first time I ever met Jaco from Jaco Whatever. So two people whose work I'm a huge fan of. And, like, I've watched them for not just like a year or two, but like, you know, pretty much probably since they started. Those are people that have been on my radar that I've always thought are really interesting.
And since we're on that chain of shout outs, I'm going to shout out Glenn from DIY Creators, who I'd never met prior to this, as well as Izzy Swan, two like behemoths in the space that, you know, I've obviously been following forever too. It was great. Obviously the nicest people in the world.
Yeah.
Watch your words.
Yes. No, I did a concrete class with Glenn, and it was fun. It was like very little presentation, all hands on, just sitting at a bunch of table, carving up some plastic, mixing concrete, making stuff. It was a blast. So this one was a huge success. I'm sure we'll be doing another one next year.
Yeah, we over doubled attendance from year one to year two.
So talk to, don't take our word for it. Talk to some of the other people. just check out some of the hashtags around yeah. WorkbenchCon, Workbench Conference, and I think you'll see a pretty unanimous set of voices all sort of echoing what we're saying.
Yeah, I think lightning struck twice, because last year it seemed like, oh man, this was so positive and everything that came afterwards, but like it was just as good, maybe better this year. So I want to talk about, I finally got a chance to watch Ben's new shipping container series, or container house series.
The Modern Home Project.
The Modern Home Project. And dude, it is so good. Like I wanted to wait until I could really sit down and watch it and, you know, not have anything distracting me. So I spent, the first two episodes are out now, which combined is like, I mean, they're almost TV shows between, like, I think the second yeah. one was like 22 minutes, wasn't it?
Yep.
Yeah. So it was so good, and it was, I really enjoyed it because, okay, you know, you kind of have let your YouTube, your main channel,
die.
not die, but like
it's been dormant.
Haven't gotten neglected.
Yeah.
It's been half neglected. It's been kind of backburnered for this year. Yeah. And like the balls to just like be like, I'm launching a whole new channel and doing this, and to see how well it's working out so far, to go from nothing to like that first video already has like 380,000 views at the time that I watched it this morning. You already have like almost 50,000 subs. And so it's awesome to see you take a risk on it and be ambitious with it when, like, you know, you were one of the top guys in the space and like you've let it lapse a little bit, yeah. but to see you like take a risk on it and now it's paying off, that's awesome.
Well, by risk, it might have been an overestimation of my ability to do two things at once.
Yeah.
Right.
which is why I'm...
But you didn't back off.
Right. So, no, there, you know, during the construction of the container house, there was sort of two types of stress that I was feeling. One, which was to finish the container house to meet the deadlines that Home Depot had set. And then the other one was the feeling of stress that, you know, what is my most important channel, my main Homemade Modern YouTube channel that I've worked so hard to build up, was being neglected and seeing the sort of performance of that dwindle down. Mm-hmm. And so that feeling of losing something and also the feeling of being behind in the thing that you think is most important combined made that a little bit of a challenging time for me. But the thing I always think with these things is that it's important not to follow a set of rituals or just practices. It's important to have concepts behind what you believe in and what you're doing, because they'll keep you from just repeating the same habit when it no longer makes sense. There is no practice that we're doing in our work now that will be unchanged, you know, 5 years from now. And you can't just keep repeating. When I got started in making videos, it was because of a conceptual belief. Before then, you know, my web background had been with sort of websites and stuff like that. And I fundamentally saw that in like 2013, 2014, that the shift towards video content becoming a much more dominant type of media was already well underway. You know, at the time, like Apartment Therapy, BuzzFeed, Huffington Post were like so dominant. You look at like how much traffic Apartment Therapy gets now versus then, it's not even close. Huffington Post is not nearly the same a beast that they once were, because they didn't get into scalable video very effectively. Even BuzzFeed has had some struggles and had to sort of really heavily invest into video series. So what I think what's happening, you know, now is that I look at Netflix. I hear so many, I mean, a lot of my friends talk about YouTube because they actually are YouTube makers. But my other friends that don't produce content, they talk about Netflix and Game of Thrones and these sort of things. And I've been interested in that kind of content,
long format
content for a while. I still want to do the small projects because I think that's the best way to get a singular idea that's evergreen out there. But so I believed in that concept is you know, people are going to watch video content, and if you can serve up you know, a bingeable, like a whole series of a docuseries. I also believe in the sort of supply and demand theory, when I started making DIY videos, there wasn't as many people making DIY furniture projects. Now there's way more, and that's awesome. That is 100% great. There is more. If you're a homeowner on a budget or a hobbyist woodworker, you can open up YouTube and you're loaded with not just inspiration, but like brilliant instruction at all different levels, with all different skill sets, with all different sets of tools. Tons of different imaginative, creative projects with really excellent production value. I was just checking out Mike's conference table video. It is so night and day better in terms of production than the stuff you were doing 2 years ago. Like,
thanks, yeah.
The camera work was clean. There was a lot of dynamic shots and cuts. Perfect on the white balance. Like, great lighting. Funny little tips and tricks. It was, but still well-paced.
Thank you.
So when I looked at all that, like, I thought, you know, I want to do projects that are different, that are like whole houses, getting back to my sort of architecture background. And I want to sort of do content that's a little bit different.
Yeah.
And, but, you know, when I launched these videos, it was a little bit scary. I was like, oh man, I made some sacrifices to my main channel to get these off the ground. And the other thing that I think is really important, and there's, you know, a lot of, and I know some of the other YouTubers out there listen, and I've heard them talk from time to time that they feel that they have to do certain types of things creatively and artistically because that's what their channel and audience wants them to do.
Right, whether they're married to a certain posting schedule or video format or something along those lines, they feel like constrained right. by it.
And at the same time, I'll hear some of those same YouTubers talk about how maybe their views are going down or they're having a harder time reaching their own subscribers. So both of those things are concerning, but you can also take anything that you see as a trend that's concerning, and it can also be an opportunity. And, you know, I saw that too. I'm like, huh, well, I've always thought my subscribers are the most important thing because that's what I work so hard to create. But if the average, you know, if there's way more thumbnails out there, people are subscribed to more people, and I'm getting less views per subscriber, maybe this is actually a great opportunity to try something new and launch something new. Because if I just do really competitive content in a different way than other people are doing it, break all my old format rules, and if I say subscribers aren't as useful on my main channel, that creates an opportunity to launch a new one. Mm-hmm. And I was very nervous launching it.
Dude, I know. We had a lot of conversations about, like, am I making the right choice? Yeah. And it's like, dude, there's no way of knowing until you just throw it out there and try, right?
And I had talked to people in sort of TV about sort of doing this project with an experienced television production company. And they're like, there's no way people will just want to watch a lot of information straight for 22 minutes. Like,
right, it has to have some.
It has to have an act and a resolution, and you have to bring in drama and personality. And I'm like, I think there's already a lot of supply of that stuff on HGTV. You know what there isn't? Just a straightforward docuseries that tells you how to build a house.
And if we're being candid, that drama and that intrigue is what makes the majority of, at least me and you, and I'm sure a lot of our listeners, tune out during those HGTV shows when we know that it's a scripted problem that they had to fabricate because the production team was there that day. And so, mm-hmm. yeah, your content is definitely information dense in comparison, but it's all pertinent information and it's organized really, really well. The flow of the video is just seamless and you're never... I know this is not exactly, it's a little disjointed the way I'm saying this, but I remember a long time ago, whenever we were first talking back and forth, one of the things you were telling me about the pacing of your video is if I'm spending longer than 10 seconds explaining any particular step, I either need to rethink how I'm explaining it and presenting it, or I just need to completely redesign what I'm doing or how I'm doing it. Mm-hmm. And so that same outlook that you had, which at the time was on project videos, I still feel like you're doing the same with these big videos. Mm-hmm. Even though it is a lot of information, you're moving from one to the other, never getting hung up on one particular detail.
Well, going back to the whole like HGTV thing and how they, you know, manufacture the drama, and yours is more just like documenting what happened, obviously. You know, if the whole point of that is to like create that feeling of anxiety or whatever in the viewer that they would feel if they were actually in that situation. It's almost inherent to the project. Like, even when I'm watching your videos, I still feel that because I see you like, oh man, here comes the concrete. And like, yeah. You know, you're talking about, this is it. Like, you get one shot at this. And then when you're putting the shipping container down and it's like, you have a half inch of margin of air to place the thing. And when you're cutting the holes, I'm hoping that you're not cutting it too big for the windows and like all that stuff. It inherently has drama without having to like play it up.
Yeah. Also, I got a shout out. I think you have like the best shot of like almost any kind of build video I've ever seen, where it's the one where it's the crane moving the big containers.
Yeah.
It's that drone shot where it just looks like this little caterpillar inchworming across this desert, but it's really like 40 feet long.
Yeah, I really like that cut, right? Like where it switches from, because it goes from the overhead of showing how this giant crane, which is literally a transformer, it's a truck that moves into this spidery thing that can pick things up and stretch around and drop them. So it's moving across in this very weird way, picking up this huge container that's almost as big as it. And then we switch to the sort of, you know, point of view shot where you see it lifted up over one container and then drop it onto the site. So yeah, it was, I still got a ton of editing to do. You know, I'll trying to stick to sort of a weekly format to get them out. But what's fascinating is that thing, and this is so true in life in so many ways, is that thing you think that you have that you don't have. We don't really own our subscribers. They belong on a platform we don't control. But you know what we own is like our ability to make video, our ability to design things, our ability to build things, and our ability to sort of share ideas. I actually had a meeting with YouTube today, and because they had been talking to them about launching the videos, because I was thinking about trying to work a deal with like a Netflix type streaming thing or launch them on iTunes as a pay to watch thing. Mm-hmm. And they really were pushing for YouTube, obviously. And
no way, the YouTube reps were hoping you put it on YouTube.
Yeah, but they were, we were all like excited, and they're saying, oh, we want you to talk to some other YouTubers that are having, maybe their channel stalling out a little bit, and sort of saying, maybe this is a great opportunity. We tend to think of the things, we tend to ignore knowledge and skill sets that we've honed and improved upon as actual tangible gains, right? We tend to look for like a number where you can't put a number on how much better you're at making videos today than you were 2 years ago. It's more of a soft, skill. But it is tangible, it is real, and that ability to sort of, to take the skills that we've sort of learned, regardless of where our subscriber numbers are, and do something new is a pretty cool opportunity. So, yeah, phew!
Sigh of relief. No, but it kind of just reinforces the whole idea that I always try to say this to people, is that like, if you make really good stuff, it's not going to go ignored. Like, there's nobody out there that's doing really good stuff and just getting nothing from it. And I mean, this just goes to show it that obviously, you had a little leg up from somebody else that was just like an unknown person starting something, but not a whole lot. Like, when you look at the crossover that goes from Instagram to YouTube, it's not nearly what you'd imagine that it would be. So you were kind of just, starting from ground zero again. And it's like built up really fast, and it's just awesome to see you be ambitious about something and see that it's performing.
I posted the first Container House video on the same day that I posted the video on Homemade Modern of building the deck, the concrete pavers in the cedar deck. The video on Homemade Modern, with its over 1 million subscribers, is at 100,000 views, which is fine. I'll take it. And it's still doing well. The first Container House video launched on a channel with no subscribers and just a little bit of Instagram promotion is up to 400,000. So it was really about, it was refreshing to see that it wasn't about this legacy of subscribers. It was about, here's information that hasn't been thoroughly presented on this platform before. And if you look at the comments, that's the overwhelming commonality on the comments, is that I've seen a lot of shipping container houses. No one's ever explained exactly how they've made one.
Right. Yeah, like that library of content exists, but that content is mostly like home tours, or it's showing particularly unique properties. It's not showing the ins and outs of how it's done.
Yeah. So yep. it's been a good week, both for the community of WorkbenchCon and also getting back to business stuff. But I have another funny internet story, which...
Oh, yeah. I've been following this. Explain this.
So, you guys know me, that I can be a little spicy or sassy on my sort of responses to...
Yeah, we're going to stick with sassy.
Yeah. To either an occasional commenter that might draw my ire, or the random sort of, you know, when I get one of those emails from Ted's Woodworkings marketing affiliates, I've been known to write a strongly worded email. Well, we all get these emails, and it's really hard to describe them to someone who hasn't got them, because they just don't make any sense. But they're from an overseas company, often from China, and there's these companies over there that are involved in manufacturing, and I don't know if it's happening at the sort of one factory level, or at like there's like marketing companies that then team up with like four or five factories and then try to sell all these weird collection of random products on Amazon, and they'll reach out to YouTubers and sort of say, hey, and it's very transactional and it's a terrible deal. It's very spammy.
It's also the most random products that make no sense together.
Yes, and really poorly written emails. And so I got one of these emails, and I think I was just feeling like in a good kind of playful mood, because having, you know, WorkbenchCon was so fun. I was just feeling grateful that, you know, we get to do what we get to do for a living. And I got this email that says, it's from a company called Litake Lighting, and it's the subject says YouTube video regarding. It says, hi friend, good start.
Wow.
We saw your YouTube page. You doing very great job. We are looking forward for the pages like you. Okay, cool.
Close. We get the gist. Yeah. Right. Close.
I can say this because I'm Asian and it's
right.
We are seller with couples of new brand products on Amazon, mainly focus on LED and cloths products, which ye need YouTube promotion video. We select several products every week to find good YouTuber. Hope you can help us promote our products. We are looking forward on your mail. I attach the product images below. So I was thinking, oh, cool, JPEGs of products. No. Word document of products with JPEGs on them. So what kind of products do you ask? Well, the first one was a women's maternity dress, off-the-shoulder casual dress.
It was fun. Beautiful. It was flirty.
It was a nice dress.
Yeah, it was great.
A women's long-sleeve pullover, striped pocket slim sweatshirt, casual hoodie, dress, hooded sweater, dresses. That was one product.
And that's the title of it.
Yeah. Getting that SEO.
It's got a lot of
action keywords
in there.
Next up was Litake. They put their brand in this. Crampons. 19 stainless steel spikes, traction cleats, ice snow grips for climbing, hiking, and walking.
Your choice.
Yeah, and so what are they're like? They're like snow chains
steel
for your
spikes
boots.
Yeah, for ice climbing that go onto your shoes.
Because anyone in the market for maternity clothing, it's an easy upsell to get them some chains for their boots.
Up next, LED grow lights.
Nice.
Flexible, waterproof, soft strip glow lights for plants.
For the baby.
Not plants, plural, plant. Then more maternity dresses, a half-sleeve Empire waist mid-dress. You know I like a good Empire waist. Mm-hmm. Some women's plus size flowy tops. I like plus size flowy tops is got a nice ring to it. More LED puck lights, some chiffon stuff, maternity clothes, and more lights.
Yeah, so right. They reach out, you go through the email, and granted, for the listeners, I'm going to ask you guys, I probably get about 7 of these emails a week, usually like one a day, maybe one every other day.
Yeah, either say a some few times kind of a week, Amazon definitely.
Seller or some kind of weird, you know, Chinese site that you know is probably going to give you a virus.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, this like at least every other day we get something like this. This was a particularly random collection. Like a lot of times there'll be like lighting and electric toothbrush and some like USB chargers and speakers, right? Like it'll be more around sort of electronics or furniture or something like that.
Yeah, kind of or slightly tool focused.
Right.
But it's all knockoff stuff. Like it's all just, you know, it's not good stuff.
So I started posting screenshots of this on my Instagram stories, and people were laughing. It was like, this is so random. And you know, for people that don't sort of do this kind of stuff, they don't get these kind of emails. And then I was sort of thinking like, well, what if I do like some sort of art project with this, right? And everyone was telling me, oh, message them back and just say yes, and then make something out of this weird combination, this sort of Mad Lib
I'll take
of
it all.
Products.
Yeah.
And so I emailed, you know, so I said, well, I could do like maybe some like get all the maternity dresses and make some like big kind of tent that I light up. With like the LED lights, and then build like a fence around it out of like stainless steel crampons. It's still just a weird word, especially if you hear maternity dress, you're already thinking like sort of female products, and then you hear crampons and you're thinking something else.
Exactly. Yeah, two things.
Yeah. Chris, practically a doctor.
Yeah.
So anyways, I think like, oh, well, how about I just like do a project with the lighting, have them donate a bunch of clothing. And then I donate the clothing to like a women's shelter or something like that in LA. And my sister's involved with some charities like that, so I knew I could find a home for them. So I put that as a poll. A surprising number of people just wanted me to do the art project, just using all of it. But of course, you know, it's probably like 80% said, you know, do the cool like grow, you know, maybe we'll do like an indoor garden again, and then donate the clothing. So said okay. So I emailed them back. And said, okay, I'll do it. You just have to send, you know, a bunch of clothing and a few of these lights. I'll do a project. I'll show the clothing in it, and then I'll donate them to a charity. And then someone else reached out and said, hey, you know, that kind of fast fashion stuff, it's not that valuable. Like, there's plenty of clothes at thrift stores that can be donated. And, you know, fast fashion is a huge environmental problem because it just really creates this culture of disposable clothing. And so that's not really that great of an idea for sustainability. Now, I haven't fully vetted that thing, but I've heard sort of supporting arguments for it. So I started thinking, maybe donating a whole bunch of clothing isn't getting a bunch of this free sort of stuff, which may not be, it may be awesome, it may not be great quality. So I started to second guess that, but I'd already fired off the email, and the company sort of, you know, at first they sent me a form one that in no way addresses the email that I sent, but we sort of get through it, and they seem like they're on board. So that's where I was sort of thinking. And then right before we're recording the podcast, another lighting company saw that the story thread and said, hey, we'll be happy to help. So I said, oh, cool. Well, I'll incorporate your lighting. And this company is called InLighting. They actually make really nice, like, check them out. It's really cool. They make really cool, like these very modern, minimal, like puck lights for alley, outdoor patios and furniture. So I think I might actually incorporate them into some pavers to make like sort of a lit a paver path from the
and
container.
And to be
very
clear, they are in no way associated with these type of companies that we were talking about earlier.
This was like
they're
a legit.
Fully legit, and they're great.
Right. And I said, you know what? I'm going to waive. Let's do it. Like I'll waive my fee to just donate $1,000 to a charity. We'll figure out the charity later because, you know, you really want to research those things carefully and not just pick one randomly. Donate that, which is way lower than the fee I would normally charge for product integration. But I was feeling good. I was having fun with the internet. Life is great. Had a great time at WorkbenchCon. So just feeling happy and grateful.
Feeling froggy.
Yeah. So I said yes, and you know what? They said yes. So now it's like this weird internet thing that started as like a spam email.
Yeah.
Is now like, then was sort of a joke, then was sort of an art project. Then we're like, oh, we can actually donate to things. But then I learned from people also on the internet that perhaps like donating clothes isn't the right thing. And just when I was feeling like, oh, well, maybe this isn't such a good idea, another company swoops in and wants to get involved and is going to donate actual cash. So we'll see where this goes, but stay tuned because the internet is a wild and woolly place.
I love how you're on this like weird. Have you all heard of James Veitch?
Yeah.
He's a sort of a stand-up comic, sort of kind of a just a, like a talker of sorts, but he does these things where he just takes, what are they called when you have like just telemarketers call you and stuff like this, or like prank emails basically, and he just continues to follow that lead and just make their life a disaster.
Yeah.
You're doing that, but you're making something better out of it. You're not just like, you're not just out there cynical. I love it.
Right. It's also, it's like the, like, I mean, this is why I think like inspiration can be anywhere. It's just like, but it's hidden unless you engage it with enthusiasm. And, you know, with the Container House, it's important to do big projects every time. But when you're kind of stressed and overworked, you don't take the time to smell the spam. To sort of like have fun with things, be playful, and kind of explore. And I think that's one of the takeaways for me, that, you know, I'll always take on projects that are a little bit beyond my capabilities, but I don't want to consistently live every day of every year under that kind of duress, because I think you miss opportunities like this, which are kind of silly but fun and can kind of explore things in a really playful and creative way.
Yeah, I think that's so cool. And I'm excited to see where this goes. This is going to be the new kind of weekly update that we get as all this develops, because it'll take a little bit of time, you know? So I'm excited for where this is going
to
go.
Yeah, we have to come up with like a term. And so, you know, listeners out there, it's something about like recycling spam or, making something out of spam.
Whenever you get the opportunity to do like another TEDx talk or something like this, this is definitely going to be the topic. It, right?
Right, because we do take that for granted, you know, being having been in this game for a while, is that not everybody opens up their email, and granted, we're not getting offered the coolest stuff, but just gets offered like free Crocs or like some sort of Chinese knockoff version of it.
I wish.
Like a nice turtleneck sweater. Lots of LED lights. Like we could light up. We could cause some major light pollution.
You could ruin Joshua Tree.
Absolutely.
But yeah, no, it's been a fun ride.
Yeah, and so make sure follow the Modern Maker podcast on a weekly basis, so we'll see where this goes. But in the meantime, I want to hear about any kind of content creators. I'm talking YouTubers that you want to shout out, since we are coming off of Workbench Con, leading up to it and after. It's kind of gotten me pretty heavy back into the maker YouTube content that I kind of let get out of my focus for a little while. I've been binging quite a bit of DIY channels and maker channels. So I want to hear any that you guys might have been watching. First, I want to give a huge shout out to Chris from Get Hands Dirty. Not you, Chris.
Oh, yeah, the kitchen.
That kitchen that she did in her studio space is amazing. For
love the
colors. Anybody who's not familiar with it already, she did a very modern kind of whole kitchen setup, all the cabinets, all of the built-ins. She did really great flat front cabinets with integrated handles. And I love the way she integrated cement board for a really cool textured but matte black look, and the colored MDF that she uses all the time called Velcro Mat. I think it came out amazing. Once again, it was a relatively long video. I think it was close to 30 minutes even. And it had my attention the whole time. It was really cool seeing that whole thing come together. And anytime people can include the struggle of doing unique projects like that, whether it's fitting appliances or fitting your space and the challenges around that, it's amazing to see, and also just encouraging for someone like me that's interested in pursuing more renovation and home style content. It's cool to see people tackle stuff like that.
Yeah, I'll quickly shout out a couple people that I got to hang out with at a Workbench Con. So obviously, I wish I could shout out everybody, but there's so many. But two that I had never met before. So I'll keep it to people I had never met before. But Michael Alm, who, you know, he's participated in our challenges before. Yes. And then Brian from Bike City Woodworks. Got to talk to them on a few occasions over the week. Really cool guys doing good stuff. So definitely check them out.
And for me, it's going to be Johnny Brooks from Crafted Workshop. One, he's a hell of a woodworker, but also just like really nice guy and has a fantastic family. So you can see where he gets his... Yeah. His sort
but he almost ruined our presentation.
Yeah, you can see where he gets his generosity. But his family hosted us for a dinner like the day before WorkbenchCon, and they're just the nicest people. So shout out to the Brooks.
Yeah, and I'm going to do Brookses. One last plug. That's a few different people. It is April Wilkerson, Johnny Brook, and Matt Cremona, who recently slapped together a second... Oh, yeah. Matt Cremona bandsaw mill, and I'm just blown away that they were able to build that thing so fast. They did it in basically a week. I would have loved to just seen what kind of weird assembly line process they had to have had. Just one guy cutting metal all day, another person just grinding all day, I have to imagine. But regardless, I haven't gotten a chance to see the video yet because it did just go live when we're recording this episode, but I have to imagine it's a good one.
Oh, indeed.
Couple more.
Oh, okay. Great. Let's do this.
Paul Jackman and Zach. How do you say his last name? Herbals?
Herberholtz.
Herberholtz.
Morris.
I just always think of him as ZH Fabrications, which is what you'll find him on Instagram. But two totally different type of makers, but what I think they did a really cool presentation, and it was called Fuck the Formula. And what they were sort of saying is that how it was fantastic because they were really just talking about how important it is to really find what you're interested in and how to be involved with your work in a way that is creatively and inspirationally sustainable so that you don't turn your hobby into just another 9-to-5 job that you end up resenting. And they do things in an unconventional manner. They're not chasing an algorithm or a formula the way a lot of people are, just sort of focusing on building audience. And it was great to just see them doing it in their own different but in unique ways. I mean, Paul Jackman is doing some of the most creative and hilarious videos on power carving, a lot of stuff out of like recycled pallets, but not like the other pallet stuff you've seen. And Zach is just really investing in himself. And he had this great tip where he'll go and find like a maker or a craftsman, someone that's, you know, a real artisan at what they do. And he'll hire them to teach him some skills for like a weekend or something. And he's gotten really into forging. And he'll just invest into that thing that he's into and figure out a way to make it pay his bills. So big shout out to those two. And the last one I'll give a shout out to, Ashley Harwood, who is probably the coolest wood turner out there. It not just is her work is fantastic, and if you Google her or look at her Instagram, Ashley Harwood, you'll see what I'm talking about. But she has such command of her craft. She could give a presentation while she's turning a bowl.
Totally, and look at the slides behind her while she's still carving.
So calm
on the lathe.
Like there's something incredible about seeing someone that's put in their 10,000 hours that's just so fluid and just in their element, doing two things at once. It was it's a sight to behold.
Chris Crawford from Mortgage and Miter, Sean Boyd made this. Patrick Clancy, PC Makes, Michael Jordan, Bill Gates. Since we're just gonna keep shouting people out, we'll just throw a couple more names. God, like awesome. To shout God out.
I also have to give one more big shout out to. Well, Jen Woodhouse, for one. It's always great seeing Jen Woodhouse. And the person that she partnered up with on their plans website, Spruced, Anna White. I don't know about y'all, but Anna White was my very first exposure to DIY content on the internet whatsoever. So shout out Mom for showing me Anna White. And it was really great meeting her. She also made a really nice video message that I could send to my mom because once she found out that Anna White was going to be there, she got like really excited. She's like, "You're going to meet Anna White." She's like, "You gotta tell her I love her." And I'm like, "All right, Mom, take it easy. Take it easy."
And shout out to Vanna White and Pat Sajak and Alex Trebek.
Anna White is like the OG of like putting out furniture plants. Like, she's been doing it for a minute, and yeah, Anna is fantastic. When I first did a project with Home Depot, me and her were paired up and did some workshops together, and it was a lot of fun.
Right. And obviously, everyone that we're forgetting, thank you for sharing in such an awesome experience, teaching us stuff, letting us learn from you guys. It was an amazing event, and we can't wait for next year. I'm sure it's going to be as killer, if not better. So thank you, guys. And let's send this to the closing. You ready, guys?
I'm ready.
All right. Well, if you're not already, you should be following us individually on Instagram. I am at Modern Builds. Chris, you can find him at Four Eyes Furniture.
And I thought I was going to get to do it. I'm at Four Eyes Furniture.
Oh, no. This, no, you do it, intro, I do outro.
That's right. Sorry. Stay on the corner.
And you can find Ben at Benjamin Ueda. That's right. His first name is Benjamin. So you can use that information however you like. If you're not already, you can find Maker Brand at Maker Brand Co. And you can find our products at MakerBrandCo.com. There we've got amazing clamps as well as the best wood finish in the game. Simple finish with wax. What, Chris? You didn't like that?
This is funny. No, I like it. It's just funny. I want to see. We're going to get our outro so long someday.
This is the best part of the show. I'm trying to get us to an hour. We're at 55 minutes. I think I can stretch us to an hour. No, I'm kidding.
Keep going.
Yeah. Thank you guys for listening. We genuinely appreciate it, and we can't wait to talk again next week. Bye, everybody.
Bye.
Bye.
Nice.
Cool.
It was like we never skipped a week. Great work, guys.
Yeah, that was a banger.